We have two parables of the vineyard, two analogies or allegories of the vineyard. And these parables are both an encouragement, but they're also a warning. And of course, many of our Lord's parables are like that. Many of our Lord's teachings are like that, both encouragement and warning. Well, that also includes the first reading today. We have the encouragement with the parable that we can inherit the kingdom of God. In a way, we can be the new tenants, the new stewards of the kingdom of God. But of course, it goes further than that, because we have been, through our baptism, adopted as sons and daughters of God. And so it is more than just renting or leasing the kingdom of God. It is truly inheriting it. Being the sons of daughters of God, residing in eternity in the kingdom of God. So it's a great encouragement from these. But there's also a warning. We can lose that inheritance. We can be like the leaders of the people of Israel, who were given the vineyard of Israel, given the land, the promised land, rich in milk and honey, as you always see it, flowing in milk and honey. And they lost it. By the way, multiple times, they didn't learn their lesson the first time. It took them a few times until finally there was no more kingdom of Israel to finally figure it out. They lost that inheritance. They lost the vineyard. If we wish to truly receive the kingdom of God, if we wish to really inherit the vineyard, to use the parables, we need to seek spiritual goods. We need to seek spiritual goods in our life. We can't treat the spiritual life as something secondary to our normal life, our daily life. Our spiritual life should be, must be, our daily life, how we live our daily life. The leaders of the people were called to be tenders in the vineyard. They were called to nurture and grow the people of Israel. That was why God put them in that place, put them in the promised land, gave them these leaders, including a kingdom which was not actually God's plan in the first place. The people of Israel came to the prophets and said, "We want a king. God's your king. We want an earthly king, like the other kingdoms." Okay. You can almost see the prophet going, "You're going to get what you asked for, and you're not going to like it." And of course, the kingdom did fall, as I said, multiple times. And it actually started fairly early on. Of course, King Saul, he had his issues. King David had his issues. But with King Solomon, he had peace. He had riches. And he also had a gift from God of being one of the wisest, if not the wisest, ruler in the known world. Other rulers came to him. Again, at a time when you didn't just jump on a plane and fly to Israel. They came to him to learn from him. And with his wealth, with his fame, with the peace, with his wisdom, he became caught up in the world. And he became more concerned about debauchery and worshiping false idols and many other things. He forgot the God of Israel. He forgot that he was to tend the vineyard, and instead it became about him. And the kings that followed him followed in that pattern until Israel would be conquered. And then they would remember, oh yeah, we have a God and we need to follow him. And we need to be vineyards in the garden, vineyards or tenders of the vineyard, until they forgot again. Repeat and repeat a couple of times. For us as well, whether we are leaders like a pastor, a bishop, or members of the vineyard, if you will, we need to be producing good spiritual fruit. We need to be producing that grace that comes from God in our lives. It's so important, the spiritual fruit that we are called to produce, we call it the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is the working of the Holy Spirit in us, producing this spiritual fruit, this spiritual produce, to again use the parable, in our lives. And if we don't see these fruits of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that should be a warning sign. That should be a point where, you know, we kind of go, something's not right here. I'm not living as I should. And I'm sure all of you remember from your religious ed classes or coming into the church or however you first learned about the faith, all these fruits of the Holy Spirit, or at least you might remember hearing about them one time somewhere in a class somewhere. So I think it would be good to just briefly go through the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Not usually what you do in a homily, but I think it's a good practice as kind of a examination of conscience, to examine ourselves. Are we seeing these fruits in our lives? Because we will all find areas in our lives where the fruits of the Holy Spirit will show up, and we'll find other areas in our lives where they don't. And so if we don't see them in a certain fruits, that's something for us to bring to prayer. You know, St. Paul talks about, don't be anxious, don't be in anxiety, but bring it in prayer. Bring it to God, and you'll receive his peace and guidance of where to go forward. Well, this is one good thing to do with bringing that prayer forward. So just kind of quickly going through the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Probably the most important one is the fruit of charity. But when we speak of charity in the Christian sense, in the spiritual sense, we're talking about love. Love of God and love of neighbor. You know, this is the two great commandments, that we are living those two commandments in our lives. And what we mean by charity is putting the needs of others before ourselves. Again, loving God, putting God before us, loving neighbor, putting neighbor before us. This is part of the reason why when we talk about organizations and services that exist, generally nonprofits, but that exist to serve others, such as St. Vincent de Paul in Great Falls or the food bank here in town, we call them a charity because they exist to serve others. They exist to show this love of the Holy Spirit. The second is joy. Joy is lasting happiness that comes when we put God first. It's interesting when we talk about things that we like, that bring happiness in our world, we talk about enjoying them. Yet the world does not bring lasting happiness because it's not putting God first. Now we might enjoy a good ball game, especially if our team wins, and it is a good game. It's a good game and our team wins. And we might, if it's a really good game, we might be talking about it, and we might be, you know, the adrenaline might be going, and we're feeling really good. But eventually that dies off, especially when next week when your team loses. Then it definitely goes away. But with God, the joy we receive is lasting because it's not tied to things of the world. Next, we have the fruit of peace. And again, St. Paul talked about this, where it's tranquility when we trust in God. Do we trust in God, or are we anxious? You can hear our Lord talking to Martha and Mary. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and worried about many things, but Mary has chosen the better part. That is what this is talking about. This is bringing our concerns, our worries, our anxieties to God and trusting that he will fulfill them. Sometimes this can be very difficult to do. We have the fruit of patience, overlooking others' faults and showing compassion to them. Very difficult one. It's a definitely a difficult virtue to cultivate. And it's a very difficult fruit to see in our lives, that we can be patient. Others will have their faults. We need to be willing to overlook them. I think most of us would say, you know, I'm not perfect, and I think people understand that, and they overlook my little foibles. Maybe I've got, you know, I swear a little too much, or I've got a temper, or I'm forgetful, or something like that. And people overlook that. We need to be willing to do the same for others, especially when others are doing it maliciously. We need to be willing to overlook it. Kindness, willingness to do works of compassion for others beyond what is owed to them. So not just being kind to someone, but actually reaching out to serve. It is a good thing to give to a charity, to give to the food bank, to give to St. Vincent de Paul, to give to one of the many charities that serve people throughout the world. It is an act of kindness when we actually reach out to them ourselves, to those we know who are in need, who are sorrowing, or so on. Goodness, the fruit of goodness, seeking the path of holiness and doing God's will. When we talk about being good, we are not talking about being a nice person. We're not talking about being a not hateful person, shall we say. We're talking about someone who is walking the path to God. Walking the path of holiness, seeking to be holy. Someone can be good, but not be holy. But true goodness is seeking holiness, seeking to live according to God's will. This goes into another fruit, faith. The fruit of faith isn't just believing in something that we don't see. That's atheists like saying that. Oh, faith is just you believe in something you can't see. Well, that's not the case. Faith is trusting God's will and seeking to live it. So goodness and faith go together. These two are connected in serving God and living his will, seeking his will and trusting him. There's the fruit of long-suffering or longanimity. Try to say that 10 times fast. I probably didn't even say it right this time. Long-suffering. This is related to patience. This connects to patience, that even when we're being attacked, even when people are trying to tear us down, we still show charity. We still show patience to them. There's a fruit called mildness. And I think, you know, again, we kind of think of mildness as just not being offensive. Just kind of being, you know, the guy in the back of the room who doesn't say much, who's quiet, who's kind of private. No, this is having a heart of forgiveness in grace, being willing to forgive, being willing to offer grace to those who have hurt us. That's a very interesting difference from what we think. Another one that's kind of different from what the cultural view would be is modesty. We think of modesty as not showing too much skin, not showing too many features, shall we say. But it's actually living humbly, recognizing that our abilities and talents are from God. It's living what God has given us and recognizing that they are from Him. It's not merely physically showing off. It's recognizing that everything comes from Him. So when we do things using our talents and abilities, we always point to God. We always point to Him. There's continence, which is exercising toleration and self-control. You know, not overindulging, being moderate in the good things of life, you know, in what we need and want. You know, if we fail in the gift of, or the fruit of continence when it comes to food, we call that gluttony. If we do with alcoholic drinks, we call that drunkenness. You know, addictions can fall into a failure of continence as well, things like that. And then finally, the last one, the last fruit, is chastity. And again, this is another one where kind of our cultural understanding of it fits, but not in the way we think. Chastity is giving ourselves totally to Christ in our particular way of life, in exercising physical desires within our proper context. And that's the part that the world gets. But it's ultimately giving ourselves totally to Christ in however we live our lives now. How I give myself totally to Christ as a priest, or our religious brother or religious sister does, is very different than those of you who are married with families. Is very different from someone who is a teenager in high school trying to figure out what their future is going to be and trying to figure themselves out as they grow and change. How we live this is very different for each and every one of us. But all of it is seeking to give our lives totally to Christ in our proper context. So now all this description I gave is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So if you wish to go back and look at them, you can go look in the Catechism. I forgot to write down where it is, but it is in there. Go and look these up. The question is, so we do this examination, and I would encourage you, again, to do this on a regular basis, to examine how these fruits are showing in our lives. And we might see some weaknesses, and we will see some weaknesses in our lives. We all have them. How do we develop them? How do we develop these spiritual fruits in our lives? What we need to do is what St. Paul said. Think about what is true. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise. We need to reflect on these fruits. You know, just as our earthly fruits, our earthly goods need nurturing to grow, whether it's the crops in the field or the backyard garden or even like a little herb plant that you have in your kitchen. It needs nurturing. It needs watering. It needs feeding. We can't just plant it and forget about it. Well, just as those earthly fruits need that, spiritual fruits also need nurturing and care to grow. And that's why we reflect on these things. We reflect on these spiritual fruits. And this is why it is so important that we live the spiritual life in our world today, in our lives today. We live that spiritual life. And I would argue that that's one of the reasons why, if you look at the Catholic Church in North America and much of Europe, it seems like it's dying or is almost dead, that it's failing, it's falling apart, it's collapsing. And I would argue is it's because we as Catholics are not focusing on the spiritual life enough in our lives. We are so caught up in the riches of the world. We are so caught up in the things of the world. We're like King Solomon. King Solomon got caught up in the things of the world. And eventually the kingdom of Israel fell. So why are we surprised that when we as Catholics are caught up in the things of the world instead of the spiritual life, our church is failing? We need to return back and nurture those spiritual goods in our life, to reverse that course and bring new life to the church, bring new growth to the church, bring the gospel to the world in a new way. That is what the spiritual fruits can do for us. Because we are ultimately, by seeking spiritual fruits, we are seeking the truth revealed by God. And again, we do this through, as St. Paul said, reflecting on whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is honorable, and so on, all that long passage. We seek to find that truth, and we seek to live that truth, to nurture and grow these spiritual fruits in our lives.